On the surface, Stanley Kubrick's 1980 film The Shining explores themes of isolation, madness, and writer's block. The film follows Jack Torrance, played by Jack Nicholson, as he battles with insanity, stalking his family inside the Overlook Hotel, a resort in the Colorado Rockies.
Ever thought about my responsibilities?
Oh, Dick, what are you talking about?
Have you ever had a single moment's thought about my responsibilities? Have you ever thought for a single solitary moment about my responsibilities to my employers? Has it ever occurred to you that I have agreed to look after the Overlook Hotel until May the 1st? Does it matter to you at all?
But a new documentary called Room 237, directed by Rodney Asher, delves into theories and metaphors about The Shining you may not expect, involving the Holocaust, genocide of Native American Indians, and Stanley Kubrick's supposed involvement with the United States in faking the Apollo moon landing.
That all of the things that one could imagine that Stanley Kubrick would have had to go through to fake the Apollo moon footage.
The title of the documentary, Room 237, is a reference to the mysterious room in the Overlook Hotel that may or may not be haunted. Recently, I had a chat with the documentary's director, Rodney Asher, about exploring the theories of Kubrick's horror classic. Rodney Asher, thanks for talking to WUTC.
Oh, sure thing. Good to talk to you.
You've got a documentary called Room 237, which explores the different interpretations of Stanley Kubrick's The Shining. But before we talk about that, the first thing I'd like to know is when the first time you saw The Shining, or maybe the first time you saw it and it had a effect on you.
First time I saw it was, maybe the first time I just tried to see it. I was a little kid when it came out, and I only made it about 10 minutes in before, I had to sort of duck out the back door.
When this interest in The Shining came about, did you know that you were going to direct your first full-length documentary about it, or did the documentary just kind of happen organically?
Yeah, it was much more the latter. Over the years I've been doing, short films and some music videos and commercials and all sorts of other projects. But, one day out of the blue, a friend of mine posted, this long, kind of mind-blowing online analysis of The Shining that he'd chipped across. And, before I had finished reading it, I knew that was going to be the next film that I jumped into.
Do you remember the analysis he posted?
Yeah, well, that was the one. It was actually Jay Widener's, the one that talks about Kubrick's subliminal techniques and his sort of allusions to the space program.
The room 237 in the film represents the moon landing stage where he worked.
For someone who hasn't seen your documentary, Room 237, how would you describe it?
It's sort of a look at the signs and symbols, message, metaphors, and allegories that five, very different folks have found, buried within Stanley Kubrick's The Shining.
So the theories presented in the film often are thinking about The Shining maybe as a metaphor for maybe genocide of Native Americans or the Holocaust or the faking of the Apollo moon landing and other theories. Where did you find these theorists? Were you searching the bowels of the internet?
Yeah, well, it's not buried especially deep, but, a lot of this work has been done online recently. But, I'd say two of our interviewees, there's five that we talked to, two of them work in traditional media. Bill Blakemore, who's an ABC journalist, wrote about The Shining back in 1987 in an article that was syndicated in newspapers.
And I suddenly said to my friends, that movie was about the genocide of the American Indians. And they said, what are you talking about? And I started explaining it because I'd noticed the Calumet baking soda can. In the first time we see one, it's a single baking powder can straight on.
And Jeffrey Cox, who's a professor at Albion College in Michigan, has written two books about it.
Trained as an historian, and my special expertise is in the history of Germany and Nazi Germany in particular. I became more and more convinced that there is, in this film, a deeply laid subtext that takes on the Holocaust.
When you interviewed these theorists for Room 237, how exactly did it work? Were you taping them while they watched The Shining? Did they watch the film first and you taped later?
Well, actually, I was, I did it remotely. I mailed each of them, digital audio recorders, and I would have The Shining, open on the computer in front of me as I talked to them. But my understanding, you know, and I wasn't in the room with them actually, was that they were working from memory, which, you know, when you consider how detailed, you know, their accounts are, you know, and how accurate, you know, they describe scenes and shots and, you know, items within shots, you know, it's kind of uncanny.
Obviously that they had seen and watched this movie over and over and over.
Yeah, well, and they thought about it, you know, incredibly, you know, intensely.
And The Shining, as we come to understand it, is seeing through all the layers of history and the horrors of history, even autobiographically.
If you're just tuning in, I'm talking to Rodney Asher, the director of the documentary Room 237, which is about the numerous theories and interpretations of Stanley Kubrick's The Shining. The documentary will have its Chattanooga screening this Friday at the Barking Legs Theater. And we never see the commentators during the film, and I know you've been asked this before, but why exactly did you decide to do that?
Well, I mean, it was a style that I've been working in for a little while. You know, I had done a short documentary, you know, a year or two before I started 237, and I did it that way. And, you know, there's like a half a dozen, you know, different things that it did that I found, you know, really kind of interesting. You know, it seemed to make it more about memory and thoughts and ideas than, you know, specifically about, you know, these individuals. It also made me work harder to sometimes illustrate moments that, you know, sometimes, you know, they're describing a particular shot from The Shining and it's pretty clear, you know, what image you're going to use to illustrate that. But there are other times when, you know, the visual component is not so clear. You know, having to work harder to figure out what's appropriate, you know, would result in a lot of happy accidents.
And while interviewing these theorists about The Shining, did any of the interpretations begin to make really sense to you? And maybe you or your crew, your producer, were like, well, maybe this is a movie about the genocide of Native Americans or the Holocaust.
Oh, they would all get really persuasive, you know, especially since, you know, during the research process, you know, this movie was made largely between the hours, you know, like 9 p.m. and 3 a.m. You go very deep into these holes, kind of, you know, in the middle of the night, in the early hours of the morning, you know, and it all becomes very, very persuasive.
Kubrick presents these things where it's, you know, real, you know, it's realistic. You're not supposed to see what's actually going on. You've got Danny.
And speaking of being persuaded, you know, at one point in the documentary, I forget his name, the one who did the Apollo moon landing theory.
Yeah, that's Jay Weiser.
Yes, he says he wasn't sure if he was blurring the line of what he wanted to see in The Shining and what he was actually seeing in the film, which I thought was a telling part about the nature of the documentary Room 237, as well as just interpreting art in general, perception as reality. And what are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's a key moment. I'm glad you noticed that. I don't know that I can, you know, elaborate it that much further, but, you know, certainly it's a question that, you know, we all ask ourselves, and people have asked about, you know, the folks in the movie of, are they seeing what he intended, or are they just projecting, you know, their own ideas onto it? And it's, you know, kind of an unanswerable question.
And so many of Kubrick's movies can be up for interpretation. I mean, I think personally what makes a great auteur, a great writer, a great artist, is that there's kind of ambiguity there. In 2001, Eyes Wide Shut, the ending of Clockwork Orange. But why do you think The Shining specifically deserves this form of interpretive exploration?
Well, I mean, they all deserve it. The simplest answer is this is about The Shining because, you know, there's the most of this, you know, kind of interpretive work has been done about The Shining, which in itself is kind of interesting and significant.
I guess, again, another form of that question, why do you think people are very attracted to interpreting The Shining?
Yeah. I think, you know, of most of the movies, it may be the one that is, you know, seen maybe more often than others. It's like, you know, The Shining works in the art house, but it also works in the grindhouse. I mean, you leave the movie asking questions, and, you know, you're inspired to go back to try to solve them.
My interpretation of The Shining is that there's many levels to this film. This is like three-dimensional chess, and he's trying to tell us several stories that appear to be separate, but actually are not. And
I read too, and this is my basically my final question. I read somewhere that you said that when you were young, you interpreted The Shining as a film about the toil of creative life. Now that you're a director, do you still find that interpretation still holding weight?
Well, there's a lot to that, you know. And I think, you know, where I see the movie now, and certainly where I saw it while I was working on it, you know, as the story about trying to balance your ambitions against, you know, your responsibilities. You know, so I can identify pretty strongly with Jack, or at least see him as kind of a worst case scenario.
It's, you know, well, Kubrick had a wonderful comment about this. Somebody asked him, but isn't it true that your movies are showing us just the horrendous side of humanity? They're, you know, that's awful bleak. And Kubrick said, no, but there's something very positive about it as well. And that is, it shows at the very least that we can get our minds around what that horror is.
Room 237 will be screened at the Barking Lakes Theater this Friday as a part of the Mies en Scenesters Film Club. For more information, you can visit mesfilmclub.com. For WUTC, I'm Garrett Crowe.